First Peter chapter 4, you know, we've been talking about grace, and we can't exhaust the subject of grace. It is such a very loaded message, and every time you go through scriptures from the Old Testament and more so in the New Testament, you see that the gospel is about the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know, the word of grace, the Bible says, is able to build us up. So it is grace that Christianity is about. It makes Christianity stand out from every other belief because it is based on the grace of God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 8, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Did you know that's exactly what Jesus did for us? Because of his love, our sins have been forgiven. Amen. You know, sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around this, that God will forgive us of all our sins. You know, past, present, and future. You know, that sounds too amazing. That's why it is called grace. Amen. You know, because Jesus died before I was born. You see, before my parents were born, before my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents, before they were born. So if he died and paid for our sins 2,000 years ago, it means he paid for future sins. Otherwise, I would not be able to enjoy what he paid for. And so it says... let's look at that verse again. It says, love will cover. See, anytime there is offense, the thing that will make it go is love. Anytime. See, so if I say I love someone, it means that every time they miss it, my love will do what? It will cover it. Wow. And this is the reason I'm bringing this out is that we don't fully love the way God loves. We have not yet been perfected in love because this is how the love of God is. This is what God has saved. And so it says, covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, say, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Wow. So it's possible to be hospitable and do it grudgingly. Amen. You know, without grumbling. I like one translation that says that, you know, be kind and welcoming to one another without wishing you didn't have to. So it's talking about love. It's talking about hospitality. Verse 10. As each one has received the gift, do you know that everything we need to love one another, God has already given us? You see, so if I'm not loving people, if I'm not treating people well, it's because I'm holding back. Because the grace of God to love people, to be kind to them, to be nice and treat people well is already in me. I have it already. I have the capacity to love. You have the capacity to love. So what is happening here is that he's telling us to do it because it is the gift of God to us. Love is a gift. Grace is a gift. It is from God. And it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of what? Of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of grace. So we are not just people who receive grace. God has given us grace as a commodity, if I can put it that way, that we use to win people to him. We are stewards. We are trustees of the grace of God. God's grace has been committed to us so that we can use it, we can dispense it to bring people, to draw people to him. Not only to draw people to him, you know, there are people who may not receive Christ, but they will not be in doubt that the gospel is gracious. And the way they will know it is if the stewards of that grace make it happen. We are stewards. We are directors. We are managers of the grace of God. You know, as a steward, you have to operate the way the owner wants you to operate, isn't it? The owner, the master. So we are stewards. Look at what it says, the manifold, the many, many, manyfold grace of God. So the grace of God is in many folds. It's multi-faceted. Is that the word? It's many folds. You know, there's grace for salvation. There is grace to function that gives you ability. There is grace to show mercy. There is grace to show love. There is grace to be hospitable. So we have the manifold grace of God, and we are to be what? We are to be stewards of it. Hallelujah. You know, a steward is someone who dispenses what he's been committed to him to do. Hallelujah. And he manages it well. He holds it precious. We are the stewards of the grace of God. Do you take that responsibility serious? You know that everywhere you go, when grace is needed, you will make it available. See, we say grace is help, isn't it? So anywhere you go, you've been given grace. That's your stewardship. You can't ask someone to steward something if you haven't committed something to them. You must give them the tools to steward. So God has given a help to you. You are able to help people. So where help is needed, you extend it to people. You have been a good steward. Amen. Where strength is needed, we are able to give it. Where mercy is needed, where kindness is needed, we are able to give it because we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. And I want us to look at an aspect of grace that I would like us as a church to begin to steward. I know we're doing it already, but you know, when we hear the word of God, we do more of it. And I sense in my spirit that God is going to begin to draw people into our church. And that's one of the reasons he's given us this word of grace. God is going to begin to draw people. And what will keep them is the grace of God. They need love. They need grace. You know, the world right now is full of so many things. There's loneliness, there's isolation, and so many things going on. And people need love. They need the grace of God. And God wants us to be good stewards of his grace. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 4 it says, but God, who is what? Who is rich in mercy. I love this. God is rich in mercy. You see, you cannot have grace without mercy. Every time someone says, you know, I want to dispense grace, I want to be gracious, there has to be mercy. Hallelujah. What did we say grace was? Two words you can use to summarize grace: goodness and mercy. So don't just be good to people. Be merciful to them. Hallelujah. You know, the reason why this is important is many times people you've been good to will offend you. So when they offend you, you see, can you imagine how good I've been to her? How good I've been to them? You know, even this week, I was speaking to someone. I've met many people who I said, no, I disown you. You know, even this week, someone was speaking like that. You know, because the reason I love them so much. No, without mercy, there is no love. This is the demonstration of the love of God. Say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us. See, next verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses. See, you see, sinners, people who don't know the Lord, who have not received the love of Christ, they are actually dead in their sins. Now, if somebody is dead in something, can they change? They cannot change. So if we are dead in our trespasses and in our sins, there's no way that you can't come to a dead person and say to him, you know, the way you've been living is not right. You've got to change. The person is dead in it. They are not alive. And so we were dead, all of humanity dead in our trespasses. But see what happens here. He made us alive. How did he make us alive? Because of his what? His grace, his love that he has to us. He made us alive in Christ Jesus. By grace, you have been saved. He talks about that word grace again. See, grace made us alive. See, so when people are doing wrong, I'm not using this. You know, the message of grace sometimes looks like you're giving an excuse for people to do wrong. No, the message of grace is to reach out to people who are already in darkness and bring them into light. That's our job. That's the stewardship that God has given to us. That we go into the neighborhood, that we go into individuals and people that we meet, that they come in contact with the love of God, come in contact with the grace of God, and they will have no option but to embrace it because it is so amazing. Praise God. He said, he raised up together and made us sit together. Can you imagine? We were dead in sins. Look at from where he took us. He didn't bring us and put us, you know, at this level. He didn't put us at this level. He took us straight to be seated together with Christ. What amazing grace. Raised us and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come. Now, I wanted to see what God is doing. He said, in the ages to come, he might show. Come on. The exceeding riches of what? Of his grace. The reason he did it, the reason he paid for our sins, he cleansed us and cleaned us and he raised us, because he didn't have to raise up to the same level as he. Hallelujah. The reason he did it, look at it, to show the exceeding riches of his grace. He wants to show us that his grace is too much. He wants to show us how far-reaching his grace is. He wants to show us how powerful his grace is. The exceeding riches of his grace in what? In his kindness. Now, this is key. This is where we're going to be focusing on tonight. In his kindness. So God showed his grace in what? In his kindness. Did you know God is kind to you? He is kind toward us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In his kindness. Let's look at it in another translation. Verse 7. I'd like to read it to you in the New Living Translation. So God can point to us in all future ages. You know that we're going to spend eternity with God. And in that eternity, God is going to be pointing to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. So that every time that we are in eternity with Christ Jesus and we are ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus, we will always be, God will continue to talk about his grace. He said, see what my grace did for them. Look at what my grace achieved for them. That in future, in ages to come, thousands and thousands and thousands of years to come, God will do what? He will point to us. We are the examples of how gracious God is. Hallelujah. As examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us. So God is not just going to be kind to us while we are in this world. When we leave and when Christ returns, we're still going to be witnessing his what? His kindness, his grace, and his kindness. As shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. The Living Bible. Let's hear what the Living Bible says. Kindness. And now God can always point to us. Wow. Do you appreciate the grace of God in your life? Do you appreciate the kindness? You know, people may have been mean to you, have been nasty to you. People can treat you anyhow they treat you, but there's one person who loves you and is gracious and kind to you. And now God can always point to us as examples of how very, very rich his kindness is. His kindness is rich. And we are the ones that God can point to, not angels. Angels do not know the exceeding riches of the kindness of God. Did you know that? Because Jesus didn't die for angels. We are the ones. Even the Bible says those things, even angels, they are looking and wondering, how? Who are these people? How come? The Bible says angels, they want to look into it. You can imagine Jesus on the throne, then he left heaven to come to this world in human form. To become like them? To become like these people? after all the evil they've done, after all the atrocities they've done, hallelujah, but because to show how very, very rich his kindness is, as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be kind? It means to be tender. God is tender towards us. You know, we need to begin to see the character of God. And that has to be our character because we are stewards. We need to be tender. You know, sometimes you have in the world today, people say, oh, you've got to be harsh and mean and aggressive. That's not godly. It is not godly. You know, sometimes, especially for us men, you say, you know, I went to the military school. One of those are the things that we were raised to do. You know, in fact, if you wanted to have a great position in the school, you had to be mean. And then when you are mean, it will be said that, yes, you are a disciplinarian. You're very, very disciplined. We can entrust you with things if you're mean. So if you are gentle, they believe that you are weak. You see, meekness is not weakness. In fact, it takes more character to be meek than to be harsh. Did you know that? Anybody can be harsh. Anybody can be mean. Anybody can be aggressive. Aggression is easy to do. In fact, aggression shows that we are lacking in character. You need to build your character to be gentle. Hallelujah. You see, because aggression and all of those meanness and harshness will lead to anger, will lead to wrath, and will destroy things. And so as believers, we are to be like our God. Our God is tender. He's kind. And I don't know if people have witnessed this. You know, when you say, oh, as a man, you are tender, and you say, you're not describing a man. You are describing women. But God is kind, amen, hallelujah. Glory to God. He's tender, he's gentle, he's caring, he's affectionate. And this is so important. The Bible says we are the stewards of the grace of God, and God's grace is shown in his kindness, in his tenderness, in his gentleness. And so as people come into church, as people come in, they need to meet us as stewards of the kindness of God. They've got to meet a tender people, a kind people, a caring people, a loving people. Glory to God. God will never treat you harshly because he is kind to us. Thank you, Jesus. We are stewards of kindness. Let's go to John chapter 8 and see an example here. We know the woman who was caught in the very act. Were those people who were going to stone her, were they kind to her? No. Were they tender? No, they are brash and rash and harsh and aggressive. And so let's see what happens. So when they continued asking him, they continued asking Jesus when he didn't answer them, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. The person who has never sinned. You know, I've said it over and over and over again. If you are not showing grace, you're saying that I don't need grace. That's what it means. You know, I don't need grace. I'm perfect. I do everything perfectly right. And so Jesus hits it back at them. He said, the person who has never sinned, who has never done anything wrong, cast the first stone. Now, when you see a woman who is in the state that she is, what does she need? Does she need condemnation or love? She needed love. But if you are not taught the message of grace, if you are not thinking that you are a steward of grace, you will always dispense accusation and condemnation. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You know, condemnation and accusation never saved anybody. What saves people is what? The grace of God. And we need to get our minds into this, you know, to really begin to dispense the grace of God. When we see people who are missing it, who are misstepping it, they come into the house of God, let us shower them with the grace of God. And the grace of God will transform them. So, verse 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. Then those who heard it, being what? Convicted by their conscience. So why would they take up stones to stone her? Why did he have to take Jesus saying, those who have not seen, to cast the first stone? Because they don't understand grace. The grace of God means that we're all sinners. He says we were dead in our trespasses, and God raised us up, showed us his grace, showed us his kindness. And not only did he raise us up, he put us on the same level as his son Jesus Christ. So when you understand that, you are to be merciful to people. That's why he says we are stewards of the grace of God. He says by their conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Kindness. His kindness towards people, his tenderness, his love. So what happened? When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours?" So we have the option to be kind or to be accused, to accuse. Hallelujah. Which one are we going to be doing? Which one are we going to be doing? In our homes, in our lives, in our families, in our church, at work? Now, this is not to say if somebody has done something wrong, you do what? You call them and you speak to them kindly. You know you can be kind to people who are wrong. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. How do you speak the truth in love? You be kind to them. You be tender. You be gentle. Gentle and tender and meek. Jesus said I am meek and I am gentle of heart. Jesus is meek and gentle. Praise God. You know, if we have these attributes, there will be less issues in our relationships. You know, in our relationship, let me just show kindness to one another because we have the kindness of God and we are stewards of the grace of God. Let's look at another example. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Grace does not accuse and does not condemn. Grace enables you to overcome whatever weakness, whatever challenges you have. Luke 19 verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. So it doesn't matter people's status, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, they need what? They need mercy. And Jesus showed it to everyone. And this man was notorious, and they thought that he was a thief and cheating people and doing all of that. Now, verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of a short stature. Keep going. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste." Now, look at this. "Make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Wow. This is the first time Jesus will see this man. But he was notorious. He had a reputation in the town. He had a reputation in the city. So maybe someone turns up in our church who has a reputation. Or someone has gone through one issue or the other. Or they have a problem in their life. They have a weakness in their life. Maybe at school. Do you know you are a steward of the grace of God? You can change people. You see, sometimes we say, "Oh, why can't the government do something about this matter? Why can't the school authority do something about it?" Jesus is telling us to do something about it. You are stewards of my grace. He's saying that with my grace will work better than every law that is ever passed. Did you know that the Pharisees, they were always coming to the people about the law? You should do this, you should do that, you should do this. Jesus came with grace, and he's still winning people till today. I've never met someone say, "I've converted to Pharisee. I'm not a Pharisee." I've never met anyone, but I've met many converting and becoming believers in the Lord Jesus, making Jesus their Lord and their Savior. How did it happen? Through the grace of God. Grace is more potent. Grace is more powerful than accusation, than condemnation. Hallelujah. And we have to show that grace in the way we treat people. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now think about this. This man, he's been notorious. People have been accusing him and condemning him. But right within him, there is something that needed to be touched to make him change. He needed to hear words. What are the kind of words you speak to people? Do you know our words can change people? Our words can transform people. Our treatment of people, they can change them. Hallelujah. I know sometimes it can be frustrating if somebody keeps repeating the same thing over and over. Say, but I told you yesterday, I've been telling you for the last 4 or 5 years, how many things have you been doing for the last 4 or 5 years that God has been wanting you to change? Have you changed on every level? But does God still love you? Oh, yes, he's still kind to you. He's tender towards you. He's gentle towards you. Hallelujah. So when they saw it, what did they do? They all complained. Why are they complaining? Can you see this? Can you see? We don't want to be in this camp, the camp of these people. With the woman, what did they do? They took up stones to stone her. You know, when I study the Bible, I always look at it and say, look, God, I want to be like the ones who are showing grace. Because these accounts are recorded so that we can learn from them. Am I going to be like the Pharisees? Anytime I hear something about somebody, say, what a terrible human being. Look at that. They deserve this. They deserve that. Why about you just say, look, I need to show them the grace of God. I want God to bring, you know, there was a man who I remember, that was in Nigeria many years ago. And he heard about a particular person, you know, popular person who was going through some challenges, you know. And he was doing certain things that he should not be doing. And he heard about it. And I remember I came to the office, the company I was working in, and he was saying that he was going to write a letter. I'm praying and trusting God that that letter will reach that individual to share the love of God. That even though he's been brought down by everybody, the whole press, and of course what he did was wrong, and everybody was, I was touched, because this, he was a pastor, and he said he's writing a letter to try and see, and his prayer is that somehow that letter will reach that person. The person was actually here in England. And he will post the letter. And the person was a footballer. So he said, I'll post there. And his prayer and what he came to the office to ask for was for us to join him to pray that this letter will reach him and that the grace of God will touch that individual and that he will be changed. Wow. Isn't that powerful? So how about writing a letter to somebody, even if you can't reach them? How about when you see somebody, show some kindness and tenderness towards them, because grace will transform them in Jesus' name. He said, when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. You see that? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, we need to have, the Bible says it gives more grace to the humble. These people are not humble. They are pointing accusing fingers. You know, what Jesus said to that woman, he said, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? And this is a message for you today as well. It doesn't matter who accuses you. God loves you. God is kind to you. God is tender towards you. His kindness, he's going to be talking about it in the ages to come. How kind he's been to you. Glory to God. Oh, I wish that when, you know, I'll be able to talk about my kindness towards people in the ages to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or people will talk about your kindness towards them. Not your harshness. Not your meanness. Or your tenderness towards them. Hallelujah. Amen. See, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Wow. I love Jesus. So special. Look at his love. Everyone was condemning, he was showing love to him. And you know, Zacchaeus was changed. Zacchaeus' life. Jesus didn't ask him to do anything. He said, Lord, he said, if I have done anything against anyone, what am I going to do? I'm going to repay them how much?
Four times.
Four times. He said it. This is a mean man. This is a wicked man who has been maltreating everybody. Just because Jesus said, come down, I'm coming to your house today. Kindness. Jesus was a steward of the kindness of God. This is what we can achieve when we show kindness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll close with this. You know, God is going to be drawing people to us, and he's preparing us so that we will be tender. We'll be mild. Hallelujah. We'll be kind. Kindness, not accused. Don't accuse people. Don't condemn them. Praise God. There's no power to heal in accusation. There's no power to save in condemnation. But there's power in the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is what? Good for necessary edification. You know, edification is necessary. What does edification mean? To build up, to encourage. It is necessary. Everybody needs edification. That's what the word necessary means. You need edification. I need edification. Toke needs edification. Joycelyn needs edification. So if it's something she needs, and God has made me a steward, what do I do? Through my words, I will edify her. It says that it may impart what? Grace. Your words should be words that impart grace to people. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So whenever we are not dispensing kindness and grace to people, the Holy Spirit is grieved. This is serious, isn't it? You know, the grief doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is going to punish you. It's just that he's not pleased with you. So this must be an important thing to God, isn't it? That we show kindness to one another. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So how are you going to avoid grieving the Holy Spirit? Let's look at the next verse. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and what? Evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Is there someone that when you go home, you just speak evil of them? There's a word we use, backbiting. Behind their back, you're saying things against them. All of those things, we should put them away. And be what? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Hallelujah. So we should remove every form of clamor, every form of harshness and meanness in our tongue and in our words. And we should be kind towards one another because we are the stewards of the grace of God. We are stewards of the kindness of God. You know, the Holy Spirit will be pleased with us. He says, so that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, to remove clamor. Anytime we find ourselves, you know, the challenge is our flesh, isn't it? In your spirit, we want to do the right thing. I want to be kind to everybody. That's my determination to everybody around me. But my flesh doesn't want it. My flesh will say, look at what they did to me. Look at what she did to me. You know, but the Holy Spirit is saying to us today that we should be good stewards of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let's begin to just thank God for his word today. And the Lord has spoken to us today. The Lord wants our character, the character of Christ, to begin to come out. Because we are stewards. We are managers to dispense his grace to our world. We play a vital part in the kingdom agenda. And God's agenda is to send his grace out to all the world. Say, Holy Spirit, I receive help. The help to put these things to action. That my spirit will be alive to put to action the grace of kindness. Rich, rich kindness to everyone that comes my way, that as our Lord Jesus did, so will I be. That is what it means to be a Christian. Thank you, thank you. The kindness will flow among us. It will flow. Tenderness, gentleness will flow in our church, in our homes, and in our families. Kura bose kele bonda, lika satara bonda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for that home, for that family, that your tenderness will reign, that kindness will flow. Where there has been animosity, where there has been violence and infighting, let peace reign in the name of Jesus. Let the kindness of God, the grace of God, let it begin to flow into every home, every family, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to give our offerings.